Good morning.
Good morning. Wow. People are awake. That's always great. Yes. Welcome to St. Luke's this morning. As far as announcements are concerned, there are a couple right here that are important. But also what I really want you to know is that on the 19th of this month, the 19th of August, Pastor Sarah Manning from the Bishop's Office is going to be here to talk with you about the same things that we have been talking about, namely, how's the future of St. Luke's going to look like. And so that is a Sunday that she will be with us in worship. And then I don't exactly know yet how the rest of the day is going to work. And probably she's going to have some kind of an open forum after the service. Is that still in the cards? Yeah. And then also there will need to be some council meeting, whatever, with her. But keep that day on your calendar, because it's going to be really important for her to hear from all of you and to know where you guys are in the process and what might or might not have become clear to you during the summer. Let me see. It's the weekend of the county fair. Is there any other announcements that I should know of? Anyone? No? Then let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Will you please rise? Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you
for healing and life.
Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. And free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Fill us and this whole world in all its need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading this morning is from Exodus 16, 2-4, 9-15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening quails came upon and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say Psalm 78, 23-29 responsibly. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven,
raining down manna upon Moses' cheeks and giving them grain from heaven.
So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough.
The Lord caused the east wind to blow in the heavens and powerfully let out the south wind.
raining down flesh upon them like dust, and flying birds like the sand of the seas.
Letting them fall in the midst of the camp, and round about the dwellings.
So the people ate and were filled, for God gave them what they craved. Our second reading is from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who has descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, where did you come from? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. And they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the works of God, that you believe in him who has sent you. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see and believe him? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Let's see, do we have children who want to come forward? Yeah, you do. Okay, all right. You're going to bring your sister, or is she going to stay in the pew? She's going to stay right there. All right. So this is interesting because I have about 5 different cards, but, so you get a choice. How is that? I have 5 different jobs for you. One of them is teacher. One of them is apostle. One of them is pastor. One of them is evangelist. One of them is prophet. Any of those that you would like to do? Which one? Prophet. We'll do a prophet thingy then. Okay, let's see. Here is your card. You are a prophet. What do you think prophets do? You know? The biggest job they have is to speak truth to people in power. The biggest job. And it's often very dangerous for their lives. But it's not the only job that we have in the church. That's at least what Paul just told us in his letter to a group of people in Ephesus. Yes, he was. And the prophet that he talks about is, what does it mean to say things that help other people when the powerful don't want to help? What is happening if the powerful don't like justice and the poor need justice? Those are the works of a prophet. To speak truth to power. It's a really dangerous job because very often the powerful are very powerful and they don't like you for it. They don't like you for it. Want a different job? Might be a little safer for your life? Not today. The world needs a lot of prophets. And what Paul told us is that not just the prophet that you have just chosen to be, but also all those other jobs are part of what makes up the larger body of Christ, our church. Because the church is much bigger than this congregation. This is part of the church. But the church goes from continent to continent, from state to state, from city to city. It's just about everywhere, I think, except for Antarctica. That's mostly because the penguins don't know how to pray. I'm kidding. Don't mind me. So this morning, we give thanks to God for the different jobs he gives to people in the church. Prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and apostle. All the different ways in which together we are church. So, let's pray together, shall we? Yeah? All right. Dear God, thank you for your church and for the people who are active in your ministry. Give to Callan the wisdom and the strength to be a prophet for you in this world. Amen. Thank you. That's very cool. I have a prophet in this congregation. Saying to me. Let's pray. May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what we were reading this morning is the day after the picnic. That grassy knoll that had seated 5,000 yesterday has been cleared of the people. The leftovers have been collected and miraculously had amounted to 12 baskets. And only the little boy who had handed over his 2 fish and 5 loaves to Jesus can still be heard muttering, "I can't believe he did that." This is the day after the picnic, but the crowds are getting restless again because it's lunchtime and no one can find the miracle worker. Ever since they wanted to take him by force to make him their king, he's disappeared and has vanished from their sight. And sure enough, come lunchtime, the folks get antsy about his absence. "We are getting hungry," they're saying, "and we still don't have anything to eat. Where is he? We want more food." Really? Can't you ever get enough? Enough of food, enough of miracles, of healings, of teachings. Can't you ever stop demanding more? Apparently not. But their complaining and their whining is not a new art form. Not for the crowds of 2,000 years ago, nor for their ancestors 3,500 years back in the desert. Say what you want, but the Israelites were accomplished whiners. It took Moses and Aaron 10 plagues, countless confrontations with the Pharaoh, innumerable deaths of firstborn sons, and lots of persuasion to get the Israelites out of slavery. But the people were barely out of Egypt, and neither freedom nor following the call of God made the former slaves any happier. Once they faced years of wanderings in the desert and heard their stomachs growling, they wanted to return to the flesh pots of Egypt, as if there had ever been any. Forget God's call to move into the future. "Why are we in this mess?" they whined. "Can't we go back? It's hot. I'm thirsty. Are we there yet? I want to go home." It was pretty much unbelievable how good they got at it. If you want to be cynical, you could say they whined their way all the way to the promised land. But here's the surprise, that God is not deterred by it. God is determined to see them through. God simply listens to their complaints and actually hears the fear and the anxiety behind them. God hears the fear of the hunger that rumbles through their bellies, and the fear of the wilderness that clings to their limbs and their clothing. Then God provides them with what they need, quail and manna to eat, and the reason for their wilderness wanderings. "Remember that you are on a holy journey," God says to them, "with every quail, with every piece of manna that falls from heaven. Remember that you are participants in my great history with humanity. Remember it so you don't need to whine and complain and lash out at your neighbor. It's going to be a journey. It's going to be okay." But when people are afraid, nothing feels like it's enough. Just ask. And humanity will tell you that it never is enough. More bread, more signs, more you name it, we want it. It just never seems to be enough. Hunger, curiosity, whatever it was that drove them across Lake Capernaum, drove them to follow Jesus, drove them to the one who they knew had filled their hunger before. Food is seductive. And then, as now, we covet the false comfort of being full. Many years ago, it's a little over 20 by now, when I was living in Topeka, Kansas, home of the Menninger Clinic, I spoke with a psychotherapist about that. After two-thirds of his praxis time was taken up with people who didn't know how to eat. Some of them didn't know how to eat, and others didn't know when to stop. But neither of them knew how to feed themselves. Neither knew how to still their hunger. We are a hungry people, but we are often hungry for meaning and connection and for life. And our emptiness is mistaken for physical hunger. And then we act like the famous ogre in the Snickers commercial who only becomes human when it is fed chocolate. What does it take for us to feel full? To feel loved, cared for, cherished, whole? Is it food? Is it a smaller or a larger or a different home? Is it more money? Is it a job where we can use our gifts and talents for the sake of the world? Is it a spouse, a partner? Is it a full church with a thriving children's ministry led by a 37-year-old independently wealthy male pastor who works for free, has 40 years of experience, and 6 children who never need him when the congregation needs him? What is it that we are looking for that would make us happy? Jesus, you need to know, had pegged the crowds quite nicely as they kept following him. You came because you ate your fill of real bread, he tells them. But what I challenge you to do is to seek the food that feeds faith, to go and see God. Be fed by the manna that came from heaven, or at least by the retelling of the stories of it. Seek that bread from heaven. Seek to nourish your faith. And as you do, remember that you are on a sacred journey. You are on the journey to be the body of Christ in the world. Back in the desert, God gave manna to the Israelites on a daily basis. You can't keep it, Moses told them. It will spoil. This is your daily ration. You're going to get more tomorrow. But of course they didn't believe. Of course they didn't trust. And if you had looked under the blankets in their tents, you would have seen the furtively hidden pieces they tried to keep for tomorrow. Spoiled, of course, just as promised. It's a spiritual test to live off what you have today and entrust tomorrow to God. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray, but when we really get down to it, our daily bread has become to mean at least a week's supply for us. Anything less, and we don't feel safe. Anything less, and we start worrying and grumbling. We are not good with limitations, with imposed limits on our constant demand for more, for bigger, for better. We pretty much want everything we can afford, and sometimes even the things we cannot or should not afford. We oppose better fuel economy on our cars because someday we might want to drive an SUV that is as large as the average Japanese apartment. Every time that healthcare reform is on the table, we are told to be afraid because we might end up with a system that puts limits on the extraordinary measures we often employ to prolong death. And all of us, myself included, have more things than any of us need. And we are still encouraged to shop for more, to keep our hands and our minds full with things that don't satisfy. Things that will never be enough. You will always look for another miracle, always look for another wonder worker, for another king that fills us up with empty calories and stuff and things, while underneath we are starving. Manna is a daily discipline, providing for today's journey that God has in mind for us. On this journey, the bread of life is not ours to hoard nor ours to ration. It's ours to enjoy and to use, to strengthen our bodies for the sacred journey toward the future that all of us are on. And then it is ours to pass on. Because there's only that much that we need and use for ourselves. There's always some to give away. What do you know? It's been a gift in the first place. And we get to hold it in our hands. So let's take a good look at it. See how much of our hunger it can still. And when we are full, let's make sure that the rest won't go to waste, but be used to feed the hunger that is so abundant in our world. Amen.
Thank you. invite Catherine Moore to come forward, who has asked to be received into this congregation by profession of faith. Will you stand right here, please? Yes. Let us confess together our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On he ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Catherine, you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant that God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people? To hear the word of God and to share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, please answer, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
People of God here at St. Luke's, do you promise to support Catherine and pray for her in her life in Christ? If so, please answer, we do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
And let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth. Stir up in Catherine the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and of might, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, a spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to welcome Catherine to St. Luke's family of faith. Welcome.
Hold on.
There are things. There are things. This is your certificate that you are a member of this place. This is the contribution part,
okay.
And we need your address and your phone number.
Okay.
We had everything else.
Okay.
So, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Let us continue with the prayers.
Pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you give gifts and talents to every member of the church. Strengthen all your children and bring them to a full understanding and maturity in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, our complex and wonderful world is a sure sign of your abundance and care. Provide for every creature, and rain down the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Peaceful God, draw the nations of the world to harmony and mutual understanding. Bind all of humanity in the unity of love and peace that comes through the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, We pray for those who are hungry, homeless, and who have lost family or friends. Lead them to places of safety, food, and rest. We pray especially for those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you have brought us all together in this time and place. Bless this congregation, including those who are absent, and draw us into closer communication with you, each other, and our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Infinite God, we praise you for the lives of those who have died in Christ. Keep our hearts in hope, for we have all received the food that endures to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of love, Jesus.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, one body and blood of Jesus Christ, O Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Christ invites you to a place of honor at this banquet. Welcome to the feast. Please be seated.
blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Amen. Amen. Would you please rise? The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.